Great day, Idea Speak supporters. Guess who's back? Guess who's back? I missed you guys. Hope you missed me too. Welcome back to the globally recognized Can We Talk with Jewel podcast, proudly sponsored by FundraisingCup.org Ministries. Always, always, I want to remind you all that this platform serves as a beacon of insightful discussion, grounded in faith and honor of our Father, first and foremost. We discuss various topics relating to supporting communities in all walks of life as we are attracting a more diverse audience.
Amen.
I want to encourage you all to continue to support this podcast and to donate because every little contribution helps. Okay, okay. So this podcast, I'm truly, truly celebratory about. I have again invited my brother in Christ and Soul Tribe member, Brother Thomas, is back with us again today. Welcome back, Brother Thomas.
Thank you, Jewel. It's good to be here.
Glad to have you. Are you ready for this one? Because it's heavy.
Oh, I am more than ready for this one. Yes, ma'am. Let's go.
Oh boy, it's heavy, but it's also very liberating, I would say.
Uh-huh.
Oh, what a time, Brother Thomas, to be alive for this podcast. Anyway, today's prayer call topic, guys, without further ado, is Babylon is falling. No escape in sight. There will be restoration of order and balance. So yes,
Amen.
It's time, guys, to kick up your feet, grab some popcorn, and prepare to watch justice being served, brothers and sisters, across
yeah.
the nation.
Being served.
The
Amen.
Time is here.
Amen.
So with that said, we're going to open up, as we always do, with profound scripture that sets the pace of where we're going today. Brother Thomas, do you want to share with our audience the scripture mm-hmm. selections mm-hmm. that we chose?
Sure. The first scripture selection is going to be from Revelation 18, the whole full of all kinds of goodies. And it all is prevalent to this day and time. It's amazing, amazing that all these things were discussed here in Revelation so many, 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 many years ago. And it's right now hitting us right in the face. We're seeing it. First and foremost. And then the other one is going to be Psalms 63, and it's going to be verses 7 through 11. And we'll get started on the readings. Everybody, if you want to read along and get your own Bible, fine, whatever, that's fine. We can do so, or you can just listen attentively. All right, here we go. So, after these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illumined with his glory. And he cried out with a mighty voice, saying, Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, and she has become a dwelling place of demons, and a prison of every unclean spirit, and a prison of every unclean bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the passion of her immorality, and the kings of the earth have committed acts of immorality with her. And the merchants of the earth have become rich by the wealth of her sensuality. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that you may not participate in her sins, and that you may not receive her plague. For her sins have piled up on high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Pay her back, even as she has paid and gave back to her double, according to her deeds, in the cup which she has mixed twice as much for her, to the degree that she glorified herself and lived sensuously, to the same degree, give her torment and mourning. For she says in her heart, I sit as a queen, and I am not a widow, and will never see mourning. For this reason, in one day her plagues will come, pestilence, mourning, and famine, and she will be burned up with fire, for the Lord God who judges her is strong. And the kings of the earth who committed acts of immorality and live sensuously with her will weep and lament over her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance because of the fear of her torment, saying, woe, woe, the great city Babylon, the strong city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come. Very important, 1 hour. Keep that in mind. And the merchants of the earth weep and mourn over her because no one buys their cargoes anymore. Cargoes of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls and fine linens and purple, scarlet, and every kind of citron wood and every article of ivory and every article made from very costly wood and bronze and iron and marble and cinnamon and spice and the incense and pure and perfume of frankincense and wine and olive oil and fine flour and wheat and cattle and sheep and cargoes of horses and chariots and slaves and human lives. And the long for has gone from you, and all things that were luxurious and splendid have passed away from you, and men will no longer find them. The merchants of these things who became rich from her will stand at a distance because of the fear of her torment, weeping and mourning, saying, woe, woe, the great city, she who was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. 1 hour, such great wealth has been laid waste. Every shipmaster and every passenger and sailor, and as many as make their living by the sea stood at a distance and were crying out, and as they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like this great city? And they threw dust on their heads and were crying out and weeping and mourning, saying, woe, woe, the great city in which all who had ships at sea became rich for by her wealth, for in 1 hour she has been laid waste. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and your saints and apostles and prophets, because God has pronounced judgment for you against her. And a strong angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, thus with Babylon the great city be thrown down with violence and will not be found any longer. And the sound of harpists and musicians and flute players and trumpeters will not be heard in you any longer, and no craftsman of any craft will be found in you any longer, and the sound of a mill will not be heard in you any longer, and the light of a lamp will not shine in you any longer, and the voice of the bridegrooms and bride will not be heard in you any longer, for your merchants were the great men of the earth, because all the nations were deceived by your sorcery. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all who have been slain on the earth. Wow, people. Is that not a powerful, powerful message in that scripture? And it is all talking about, should I tell them, Jules, who Babylon is?
Falling. Yes. Yes.
All right, people. If you are anywhere in the vicinity of this city, you need to get out now. That's what the scripture is telling you. Get out. Because this city is going to crumble. And I do mean crumble. There'll be nothing left standing. Now, think of this. The city that we're talking about is the city, I'll give you a hint, that houses, now in Revelations, it was called League of Nations. Do y'all know what they're referring to? League of Nations? So United Nations is in that great city of New York, also known as Babylon, the city of iniquity, the city of sin. All of these things are going to be crumbling down. God has given judgment on this city. And this city is a Mecca for all trade, for, you know, everything. And it won't be any longer. So you people that are in that area or know friends and family that may be in that area, you need to tell them to get out. They need to leave now because they will not survive. God has said this. You get out now or you perish. Now, when you perish, if you're Christian, you'll go to heaven. But you have a time frame now to get out. Get out. And I mean, we don't have much time, Jewel. Not much time. Things are happening rapidly. You know this. You know the crumbling that's happening in the government there in New York. Happening with all of these trials and things that are going on and just now starting and all of this arrest that are going on. God's judgment is upon that city. And not only that city alone, also people consider that basically our United States is considered Babylon as well. So there's going to be...
I was just going to touch on that.
Yeah, there's going to be shaking. There's going to be shaking going on. And I mean that shaking, people, is earthquakes.
We may start to see a lot of revelation and eye-opening situations come out of New York right now, which is very timely with this podcast. I mean, it's like, you know, guys, I just to give you a peek into how these podcasts go. So I get my inspiration from the Father, and this podcast was prepared several days ago in terms of the topic and the message that needed to be delivered. And as I was finalizing it today, I was getting hit with all of these news briefs of what
about the mayor
in New York
mayor, about
City,
the mayor
with the mayor with a judge that was also about to be picked up and committed suicide. It's just falling, and I thank God for giving me the inspiration for the topic, because it's playing out right before our eyes, ladies and gentlemen. Brother Thomas, can you share the last scripture before we really
delve in? Yes,
ma'am.
I certainly will. Now, this one, people, is a little difficult to read, so bear with me, because it the way they phrase things is a little weird. But here we go. So this is Psalm 63, and it's verses 7 through 11. All right. For thou hast been my help, and in the shadow I sing for joy. For my soul clings to thee. Thy right hand upholds me. But those who seek my life to destroy it will go into the depths of the earth. They will be delivered over to the power of the sword. They will be prey for foxes, but the king will rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him will glory. And for the mouth of the eyes will be stopped. So that has something to go along with Revelations, because it's saying that those who have been persecuted will get their victory. Don't you think, Jewel?
Yes. And that's the final piece that we want to gather from all this. As we see all of those fall that have been involved in darkness, we still want to leave you guys with a bit of hope that those that have been doing God's will and living according to his purpose,
they will be spared.
Be spared, of course. So hold on to your faith, guys. Don't just panic.
Don't give up. It's going to be some rough days coming.
But this is a celebratory time for those of us who have been doing God's work, and it's time for us to watch. Sit back, as I mentioned before, grab your popcorn and watch how this situation just explodes. The horn is blowing and truth is unfolding right before our very eyes. The scales are being balanced by the Most High God, and truth is purging out of this country.
Yes. And you know, Jewel, God laid something on my heart just now. He says, even though we see the darkness right now, he said to say this, joy cometh in the morning.
In the morning. Amen.
So when you get out every morning and you look at that sun and you look at the sky and you say, it's a wonderful day, God will be pleased, because when this day happens, when and it's going to be a lot of dust, you'll see God rules the world again. The devil will be put asunder, and all his minions, and everyone that decided to follow the life of the devil, they will perish. And what will be left will be the clean spirits. And that is what will be reigning with God.
Yes. Amen. I just want to throw out a little quick disclaimer, Brother Thomas, and it was regarding last week's call, as well as what some of our listeners may pick up on this week's call. Now, because these last few podcasts have been so, I say heavy, but it's
meaty.
Really,
I say meaty. They have a lot of meat on the bone.
It's really meaty, and it's really threatening to the powers that be. And so I want to kind of let you guys know that if you are hearing glitches in the call or totally disconnected, as I was last week, just know that where we're going with this is a place where most people seldom
dare
visit.
Not to
and,
tread. They dare not to tread.
Yes. Yes, and our love and passion for truth, honesty, and the Most High God pushes us every week to get the message out and share that with you guys. So I just want to put that out there. And so with that said, what we're going to see in the upcoming days is the desperation in some of these wicked people's eyes.
Oh,
and
they're wild-eyed. They're wild-eyed. It's like they don't know what's going on.
We're going to observe the last remnants of this falling system.
Yeah.
And we aren't those of us who have been living according to the word, doing the right thing, treading forward. We aren't moving because we are simply going to be unbothered in this time and at total peace.
Yeah.
Taking notes on this broken matrix and how we've seen right through it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a time where it's going to shut down. It's our time now, guys. And
well, Julie, you remember what it said? There were going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I think we're seeing that now.
Yes, we're seeing that now. And those that have been living in darkness, taking pride in hurting others for their own prosperity, are disgruntled. And their time of reign is swiftly coming to an end, and they are desperately trying to hold on with the same old playbook that we pretty much ran the field with and slaughtered the opposing players while yelling, "It's a blowout," with unmatched touchdowns. You know, I don't know if you guys are into football, but I like to give analogies, right? And so I think previously I gave you guys a chess analogy, and I want to give you guys a football analogy because I have a chess player in my home and I have a football player in my home. And so that's how I kind of get into these different sports, and I want to relate to you what's happening as a sports mom of what I'm seeing here, right? So those of you who know football or have children that play, follow me if you will. We're at this point. It's like, I know they're not.
Hello? All right, y'all. We were talking about glitches, and we have had one right now. She'll be back on in a little bit. Just give you time to kind of sit back. If you hadn't got your popcorn yet, get ready for it. We are in some very difficult times coming up. But God says, don't waver in your belief. Stay strong. Continue to. We had our first glitch. Jewel?
Hello.
We had our first glitch.
Well, I'm glad.
Right as you were going to talk about football. Now, okay. What demon don't like football?
But the funny thing is, it was right on the line where I was saying, I can't believe the opposition is going to run the same play. And just before this, I described the play that they ran last week.
So, and then it went down.
And, oh, my goodness. But let me continue, guys. You know, I know we're like, at this point, it's like, I know they're not running that same play again and expecting a victory. Okay, let's get out our linemen. And by our linemen, these are our ancestors, our guides, our spiritual team. And let's cut their play short before it even starts, because we keep stealing the ball again and again. Now that they are exposed, all they got left is their final play, which is usually some sort of stage suicide of instating someone going crazy, losing their mind.
Hey, Jill, is it third and 10?
We're at third and 10, and that's usually what the final play they run. But I tell you this, no one here is certainly losing their mind. And why is that? Because we are showing up fearlessly on that field with backup, might I add, and they are flat out of breath with their best players even cheating with inflated balls. But you didn't hear that from me, Brother Thomas.
I remember it well.
We're going to mop the floor with their sneaky deception, right? Do you hear me, somebody? And so that is my analogy of what's going on as it relates to football. I love the idea of the inflated balls, by the way, because that's what they do. They find every which way to cheat, right, to get over. And
they instill their superiority over us. That's what they've been doing. They're basically now they're just spewing hot air.
That's exactly what's happening. And we are not to be moved. We need to stand there and say, peace be still, because we have been in the right. We have been doing this the right way. We have
not wavered.
We have not wavered. And so what we're going to do is we're taking names and asking questions later while they still are trying to recruit more players on the field. Somebody please give them a memo that Babylon is falling, please. All the lies traveling to practitioners, all the targeting, kidnapping, human sacrificing, food poisoning, energy harvesting, hacking, just you name it. All of this stuff, it's shutting down right before our eyes. Babylon is falling and order will be rebalanced. All praise to the Most High God.
Amen.
What do you think, Brother Thomas?
Well, you know what, Jill? I only went to New York one time, and I'll say this. It's a city that never sleeps, and that's the truth. And that means that there's always this evil going on. It never ends. And so I was just dumbfounded by the city. I mean, it was like Country Boy comes to the big city, and that was me. And we came to see the plays, you know, the Broadway plays. And I mean, it is a fascinating city. All the hustle and the bustle. But it's going to end. I mean, can you believe it, Jewel? One day we won't have New York anymore. It will be gone. And it's going to be devastating.
You know, guys, I don't know if I shared on this podcast before, but I actually grew up in New York. And I sat and watched these corrupt systems, these families, secret societies, fraternal groups target and destroy many generations and families for years. You know, I'm excited because I can speak freely and say we are no longer running or turning a blind eye.
Well, you know something, Jewel? I just thought of again, God's talking to me as you're talking. And he said this, he says, the ancestors are finally going to get their just reward. They are finally, because, you know, they were cheated. The tribes were cheated out of that land.
They were.
They sold that land for trinkets.
Yes. And it happens so many times in generations where people are sold out. Their properties are sold out. Their land sold out. And we, as generational curse breakers, are here to speak up, right, Brother Thomas?
Oh, yeah.
As we're going through these trials and telling the truth of these family sacrifices for others to grab hold of what should have been rightfully yours in the first place, we have to do this unwaveringly and heal at the same time because we're being attacked for trying to break the curse off of our own family's back.
Yeah.
So it's a challenging time for all of us. And but I don't want you to think for a minute that even though it's challenging, that we're not in a celebratory mood and rejoicing and relishing in judgment.
What's gonna
being
be, yes, it's going to be horrific. And just we realize, and I think, Jewel, if you think about it, when God decided to take out Sodom and Gomorrah, don't you think they felt the same way?
Oh, yeah.
The people looking
up
on the side, the sidelines.
Mm-hmm.
They said, you know, and Nineveh, the same thing with Nineveh. You know, when we did the podcast and we were talking about the solar eclipse and that basically it all had to do with Jonah and the whale. And, of course, Jonah fought against to Nineveh, but God said, you need to go and you tell these people, they've got X days. And when it's done, it's done. I'm not backing down. You know, you have done this to me. You've shaken your fist at me. You've spit on me. You've done all these things and I ain't putting up with it no more. Not.
Mm-hmm. And Brother Thomas, knowing that there are people that have benefited or profited in any way off the pain and trauma and even the lives of people in our very own lineage.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I have to say to that, Thomas? They deserve how our
what goes around comes around, babe. What goes around comes
and
around.
Show out.
What goes they around comes it. Around. Justice deserves.
It's by far past time, in my opinion. And we all know we go along with our father's time because he has the perfect timing. As a matter of fact,
he does.
I believe a hurricane of truth is coming in right
Woo!
Now.
Hey, my goodness, that was a good one. Good one, Jewel. Yes, ma'am. Hurricane of truth.
The veils will surely be lifted, and all of this evil that's been going on for generations will finally be exposed for all to see. And so, I don't know about you, Thomas, but I just want to celebrate the downfall of the enemy and all of this deception.
Well,
and,
I want to see what I'm doing,
Jill.
The celebration I want to see is basically that the devil is losing his footing.
Yes.
He's losing control.
Yes, I mean, you nailed it right on its head, Brother Thomas. That's what's happening. And our Father is serving up vengeance like we've never seen it before.
Mm.
We are taking it all in live as they scramble and try to cover each other's crimes up in fear, Brother Thomas.
Oh, I know.
Their secrets will be next on the table.
You know something they're actually talking about now? It used to be Hollywood.
What?
You know what they're calling it now? Hollyweird.
What are they calling it?
Hollyweird.
Yeah, well, I've heard that for some time. I have heard it for some time. And
I hadn't. You know, I thought, you know, well, we put those stars on pedestals. We did this. We did. Because, I mean, they would be successful if we wouldn't go to the box office. And that's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but then we're seeing the deception that was out there and right and smack in our faces, and we didn't see it. We just thought that they were characters.
Yeah.
Well, they are characters. Yeah. That's what God is trying to say. We've got some evil characters that have been given the power to reign. But God has a limit. And that limit is up. Plain and simple.
Absolutely. And what we're finding out, Brother Thomas, is that many of these so-called religious organizations.
Oh, my God.
That are in Hollybeard. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I believe Scientology came out of Hollybeard.
Yes. And oh my God, what I heard about Scientology. Dear God in heaven. Yeah.
Listen,
Tom Cruise.
Many of these.
Oh my God. Who's in Saturday Night Fever? John Travolta?
Yes.
He's a
John
Scientologist
Travolta.
As well. Yeah. All yeah. these people well, were are not who they seem to be, people. No, no, no.
No. We're seeing a lot of truth coming out from their children exposing things and letting us
Will
know that
Smith,
they're impersonating.
His son and daughter?
Yes,
oh, my God.
They are impersonating God's church.
Yeah.
And all of this is going to be exposed.
They said on the list of things that were fixing to fall, there were going to be some pastors. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we've already seen that happen in other religions. And that's why I tell many of the followers all the time, I don't promote one religion over the other religion.
I don't either anymore. Of course, you know, I grew up Baptist, and of course, Baptists were the best. That's what we thought.
Initially with my grandmother, I grew up, she was Pentecostal. And then as I got older, I grew up Methodist. And then I pulled away, to be honest with you guys, from all secular or specific religions. I went to a Catholic school as well. So I'm really versed in a lot of religions.
All right, Junior, what I got tired of? The money changers.
What is it?
The money changers. I got tired of it.
Yes. I know. Right now, this is not about religion, guys, because, you know, like I told you guys, you're going to find out
this too shall fall. This too shall fall, and it's going to fall. I mean, the churches are not insulated from this, not at all. Those that chose to do the money thing, God is going to put them down.
And if you guys are anything like me, I know there has to have been a time you found yourself in a church looking around like, this is not something God is endorsing. Like, what's going on? You're preaching lukewarm.
It was a production, Jewel. Did you not know that? It was a production?
That's what it felt like. More of, and I told you, I went to a church like that where they had the huge TV monitors. And
yeah.
I was like, what is going on here? Like, are we just trying to create a Hollywood movie?
Weird.
I mean, what is happening?
So
you're absolutely right, Brother Thomas. I think
and the drama, oh my God, the drama that was in those churches, Jewel, is just unbelievable. So, you know, these churches, and I think, you know what I think ended the church? I really do believe this. COVID.
What?
COVID.
Yes. That definitely... tighten the wallet of the church.
Then they were persecuted for even being out in the parking lot in their car and trying to do their service. They were persecuted.
Yeah.
So people started saying, you know what? I ain't going to go with this harassment anymore. I'll just stay at home and I'll read my scripture and I'll pray to God and I can get there just as quick as anybody else.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
And so that hurt the churches greatly because then they couldn't have the money coming in.
Yes. And I think that was all strategic as well.
Yeah.
Which went both ways. So for them, you know, the idea was once people were separated from their religious groups, they would be more vulnerable to doing the wrong thing because there was this frantic time of not getting sick and doing whatever you can to make money because if you didn't get this shot, you wouldn't be able to go to work. And
But let me say this, Jill. You know, you realize those that were the money changers, okay, those churches, do you know that they would get people to have raise money for these orphanages in Africa? And turns out that those people they sent over as missionaries weren't doing God's work.
I've heard those stories too, which is also very disappointing, especially the missionaries that went to a lot of poor countries like Haiti and so forth. Very, very disappointing. And a few other poor African countries.
Well, you know, Oprah, let's bring her out in the picture. Oh, let's just do it. I'm going to do it. Okay, so, you know, she says that she's a Christian.
She says
she's a Christian, right? And so she got this school, you know, and then girls' school. Mm-hmm. Well, what they have found out lot of girls got missing. And those that were there, a lot of them got abused. Now why? If that's so-called a church of, I mean, a school of God, you know, what's going on there? There's corruption. There's greed. And there is child trafficking. Yeah. Front and center.
Yeah. You know, speaking of child trafficking, because I know you guys see my post all the time on these missing children and even some adults on my LinkedIn. I want to let you guys know that all of this is interlinked, believe it or not. These secrets are being revealed, and all those who are marked, or should I say branded, all right? I know that a lot of these secret societies and fraternal groups don't want you to know, but they have a branding on them, and, you know, I guess that'll be easier for the Alphabet Boys to round them all up if they can find where the branding is.
Alphabet Boys, I love it.
But as I said, they are marked both physically and spiritually. So, you know, keep watching with me while they're watching us. I hope they know they are also being watched and played.
Well, that's what I was going to say, Jewel. You know, the Alphabet Boys. Hell, not maybe they need to watch who cast that first stone, okay? Because God knows. Okay, so they may be looking like they're righteous and they're doing the things that are the outward things that are looking like, you know, we're good people and we're going to be the ones to, you know, bring all this around, you know, bring all now, I think there's just another generation waiting in the wings. Do you not? But see, God knows that. God knows that, and he's fixing to put them all down. Because they're all corrupt. Now, don't get me wrong. There are people in those alphabet organizations. There are good people. I'm not saying that there's not.
And these are the ones that are stepping up, and I'm so that's what I'm celebrating, that they're finally stepping up and moving with their own intuition and moving with their own guidance from Father, not being manipulated and persuaded by the other individuals in these groups that have allegiances with other
the hierarchy
that have been leading
They're standing up boldly. And they're coming forth and they're saying, we ain't going to put up with this crap no more. I'm going to be a whistleblower.
That's right. They're digging in deep. And I'm so proud. I'm so happy to see this, that they're stepping up and they're like, no, you can't out-manipulate me anymore. And, and with these staged court cases and just all kinds of foolishness.
You know what, Jill? I think basically those people that have been the underlings in these alphabet agencies have basically finally said, you know what? Wait for that promotion is never going to happen. That's an empty promise. And so they're basically saying, you know, I need to do the right thing. I'm a man of God. I read scripture. I follow God's, you know, rule. And I'm seeing this evilness is here and I need to stand up and say no more. No more.
Well, please know that you have our full support here on this podcast.
Y'all got a hard road. A hard road.
Because, you know, I'm telling you, especially with some information that we're about to discuss about current events, we're hoping that helps you keep together some things as well. But we're here to give you any kind of trail you can take to clean up this lingering mess that has been created for so many generations.
Yeah.
So good luck to the good law enforcement and we have 100% our support in cleaning up this mess.
Yeah.
So moving on from there, Brother Thomas, I want to talk about a current event. We haven't talked about current events in a while, but this particular one caught my eye. And wait till you guys hear how we break this down to you. But the story is it's been in the news this past week that
this week.
all 7 independent directors of DNA testing company 23andMe resigned this week due to a significant disagreement over the CEO's plan to take the company private. Now follow me, if you will. Shortly prior to this announcement, 23andMe agrees to a $30 million settlement over a 2023 data breach, a class action lawsuit subsequently filed against 23andMe, accused the site of failing to protect users, Reuters report. The lawsuit also alleged that much of the stolen data belonged to, get this, Jewish and Chinese users, possibly in a targeted attack, according to the outlet. Now, that was a very interesting article. But I also want to share this story that I came across. It's linked to that news, but it's of a particular individual who believed his information was released. And it's a very short article, but I want to share that before we start discussing this, Brother Thomas. Mm-hmm. So, 3 years ago, a man in Florida named J.L. decided on a whim to send a tube of his spit to the genetic testing site 23andMe in exchange for an ancestry report. J.L., like millions of other 23andMe participants before him, says he was often asked about his ethnicity and craved a deeper insight into his identity. He said he was surprised by the diversity of his test results, which showed he had some Ashkenazi Jewish heritage? I'm not sure if I'm saying it right, but you guys follow me. JL said he didn't think much about the results until he learned of a huge breach at the company that exposed the data of nearly 7 million people, about half of the company's customers. Worse, he later learned of a hacker going by the pseudonym Golem, who had offered to sell the names, addresses, and genetic heritage reportedly belonging to 1 million 23andMe customers with similar Jewish heritage on a shadowy dark web forum. JL worried his own flippant decision to catalog his genes could put him and his family at risk. Genetic testing firm 23andMe admits hackers access DNA data of 7 million users. He states, "I didn't know my family was going to potentially be a target," he said. "I may have my family and myself in danger for something I did out of curiosity more than anything."
Well, Jewel, you know, there's also not just 23andMe. That one's come to the forefront, but, you know, there's Ancestry.com as well.
Yes. Several takeaways I want to point out about this story of this gentleman and 23andMe that stood out to me immediately, Brother Thomas. And then please jump in, you know, whenever.
Well, I just want to know, why did he want to know what he was composed of? What does it matter? We're all high in 57 varieties, are we not?
Well, that's what I was going to say. Was the first takeaway was, notice he stated his curiosity about his lineage led him to voluntarily give up his DNA information, but he never considered whom else's curiosity was at play, hoping to identify the lineage of our father's children and what would they do once they retrieve that information. He didn't think about that. And a lot
they started
of us
doing the mapping.
Yeah. We are also quick to donate our DNA, our blood, excessive blood testing, especially
COVID.
When we're pregnant for some reason, they need so much blood, and it makes you wonder, what do you need to know about this child? Why you need so much blood? Every time I show up, you need blood. It's ridiculous.
Well, look where they got the most. Do you know where they got the most data from, Jewel?
Where?
COVID. When the swabbing.
Really, everyone volunteered every right they had during COVID. They went to all kinds of tears.
Sick.
The other thing is, he then says individuals with Jewish heritage have been targeted. Well, that may cause one to ask, who exactly are the Jews and where are they? Right? A question to I mean, if we weren't spoon-fed the information that they told us in schools, and you really sat and thought about it for a second, well, you know, we know that the Jews of a certain time would have been of a darker hue, right?
Yeah.
To be in that region.
Yeah.
How else would we find out if someone has Jewish or, Jewish ancestry or lineage to Yeshua in any way, other than DNA testing? And so,
it was a scientific. So basically, it was a scientific experiment.
Yes. And so, while your curiosity to find out, oh, I wanted to see, you know, what country and all this fun stuff, someone else is looking at it to find out where does the lineage link up to Yeshua. No one thought about that. And
the
then finally,
the missing link.
The missing link, right? Because that's who was really targeted, the supposed Jews. Finally, he stated, I didn't know my family was going to potentially be a target, he said. I may have put my family and myself in danger for something I did out of curiosity more than anything. Now,
you know, Jewel, I think it would be what he just tried to do, and what he did was open up a Pandora's box.
Brother Thomas, you took the words right out of my mouth.
We're so in tune, people, I swear. We're brother and sister, you know, from another mother.
It's being targeted. Let's define targeting. According to the Collins Dictionary, targeting is the act of deciding to attack a particular point, area, or person physically. The targeting of innocent civilians is reprisal for terrorist attacks as evil. The targeting of civilian areas, right? So this.
Well, wouldn't you think, Jill, that the Hamas would love to know where we're congregated at?
Better than the Hamas, Brother Thomas. Some of these occults would love to know.
Yeah.
Would love to know who the generational curse breakers and those that are carrying DNA of Yeshua with them for many of their occult practices. And this is another that went undetected.
Right. The curiosity killed the cat. You know, that's an old saying, curiosity killed the cat.
It sure did. And what wasn't considered, right, the reason why targeting stood out to me so clearly is that we have all of these individuals across the world, Brother Thomas, that may be carrying this kind of DNA in them and coincidentally are experiencing the same exact targeting from the same exact group.
Yep.
Okay? So
I'm going to say something to you. I'm going to say something to you that I was pushed with, tried to do it, and I said, I ain't doing it. I know maybe a lot of you, and I'm going to step on some toes with this. ID and me.
Oh,
you've heard that one? ID and me. Let me tell you about ID and me. It's where you give the government control of you. Where you basically, you know, when you've got that, and they've got you in a web page, and they've got you in a base, and they can track you. And so, let me say this. Do y'all realize that Social Security was hacked into as well? It was. And so, mainly, funny thing of it is, Jill, the ones that look like they're targeting are those senior know why?
Mm-hmm.
You know why? The senior citizens are the ones who are the senior citizens are the ones who are the wise ones. The young ones don't know.
Carry the wisdom. Yeah.
Yeah. They don't know. But those that are senior citizens have a whole lot of experience that they're backing it up on. And they seeing things. And they see things.
Yes.
And they're not blind to it. Not blind.
No. And they, you know, right now they're encouraging young people to basically be spoon-fed whatever they teach them in these schools.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Defiant. And, you know, you only live once. And
live for the moment, honey. Live for the moment. Yes. I gotta have my cafe latte, and I gotta have my gym time, and I gotta have this, and I gotta have that. And that's all going to
and not
take in
the wisdom of our elders who can tell us from experience, hey, you know, you may not want to get that COVID shot. Because I recall a certain time when, you know,
when you talk about the smallpox vaccine.
They were handing out shots for something else, and it didn't turn out well. For
you remember the was that the smallpox vaccine, Jewel? I heard that was horrendous.
Well, it was. I'm referring to the smallpox.
Oh, Spanish flu. The Spanish flu. Yes.
The Spanish flu, as well as the whole syphilis thing.
Yeah.
There's a lot of wisdom that can be taken from the elders that witnessed all of this. You know.
Yeah.
And you know, if we kill
a vaccine
them off,
is not good, people. I'm telling you, I live it every day. I had the Pfizer vaccine, and I'm suffering from it. And people are trying to say, well, you had the choice. You could choose not to. No, I didn't. I didn't. My family forced me into it. I was not going to do it because they didn't test it long enough. They only did it for a couple of months. It should be 5 years. And we threw a vaccine out there and said, it's going to fix everything. And it didn't fix nothing. All it did was be a bioweapon. And all of those that took the vaccine, well, guess what? The time bomb is ticking. Do you realize that they found out, Jewel? I just saw a video today about it. That the plan was to do this, to make the young people sterile.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean,
they want to eliminate, can you believe this? The plan is to eliminate the population and to keep people from being able to populate the country for 5 years. Five years.
That is sick.
And we gave that inoculation to 6-month-old babies. Why? Because a baby already has an immune system. Why we did it? So they could be inoculated. Because I'll tell you what's in the shot, mRNA. Oh, that sounds kind of similar to DNA, is it not? Yeah. But what it does is it basically alters your DNA. So they found a way to muck with God's plan, His life plan, and it has done that. And that's another thing. He's angry because they have taken on them to decide who lives and who dies. And basically, who is created. These clones, they're everywhere. We didn't know it. We did not know it. But it's funny, you know, we kind of thought, well, how did this person get from here to there so fast? But they have more than one. They have more than one. Yeah.
Well,
and
I think Brother Thomas, as time passes, a lot of these things are not going to be recognized as conspiracy theories or guesses.
It's going to be truth. Those that were accused of being conspiracy theorists are going to be the ones in the end are going to say, you were right. I said, damn it, I know it was right. I tried to tell you.
It won't be right because, you know, a lot of times people wait till the absolute last minute.
And that's what they're doing. See, that's what they're doing, and that's what the scripture was saying. It's saying, you better get out of Dodge, because I'm telling you, you don't want to be involved with her. You don't want to be with that in that den of iniquity. You don't. You want to walk away from it. And God's giving you that opportunity, but it is shortly that window's closing. And I'm saying, you know, to my own children, And it hurts me, Jewel. It hurts me. It hurts me to know about my sisters, that they have turned their back on me because they think I'm a conspiracy theorist. They think I am mental. And I know some other people that have been saying this as well. They have family members that don't want to associate with them anymore. They don't want to talk to them anymore because they say, oh, it's like he's got cooties. You know, it might rub off on me. You better hope it does. You better hope it does.
Here's the thing, Brother Thomas. I think as we are approaching these days of judgment, it's probably in many of our best interests anyway
to walk away from them,
separate ourselves. Because the word says, and it says to be part of, we're not supposed to be part of this evil world system.
We're supposed to look for outside. We're supposed to look from afar. So,
We have to, as difficult as it is, we have to separate ourselves from individuals that are practicing, participating, or involved in any kind of demonic activity. Otherwise, it all looks a blur when our father arrives and he's just like, I just see evil in the room.
Well, Jill, I'm going to say this about, you know, those that are participating. They may be innocent participators. You know what I'm saying? They're caught up in the propaganda. They're caught up in, you know, what they've been taught in school. They're caught up in their friends and, you know, their coworkers. They're caught up in, you know, keeping up with the Joneses. Since when was it a good thing to keep up with the Joneses? When? Tell me when.
I'll give you another example of how you can participate in an evil system and not realize the extent of your contribution to the demonic activity. So here's an example, right? Let's say that a particular group is trafficking children and harvesting energy and raping them and molesting them and doing all of this stuff. But they take that dirty money and offer it to you as a bribe to harass or vandalize someone that they have in their
crosshairs.
That they plan on doing those crimes to next, or plan on doing those crimes to their children next.
You take that dirty
money, even though you did not partake in rape, molestation, trafficking, organ harvesting. You may not have partaken in those.
Are they going to try to claim that they're innocent bystanders, you? Right.
But no, from the time that money touched your hand,
you took that blood money, you're just as bad as the one who did it.
An accomplice.
Exactly.
You became part of a RICO crime that's larger than you.
Yeah.
And even though you feel like I thought my participation was just fun and games, I thought I was just going to harass someone to drive them crazy or put cameras in their homes and invade their privacy. Well, every piece connects to a larger puzzle.
Yeah.
Do you hear me?
Yeah. Well, guess what I heard, Jewel? I heard that I was speaking about Oprah. Do you know she's part of the RICO crime?
Well,
she is.
You know, Thomas, I'm sitting back and I'm waiting to hear how all of this unfolds and the players and participants and how deep this goes down the rabbit hole.
Gosh, it's really deep. It's real deep.
But at the same time, I'm excited and I can't help but to be, because I know that there was a time that I was put through a lot of turmoil and struggle in being quiet and not saying the things that was happening around me.
Yeah.
Per se.
You just kind of close your eyes to it. You said, if it's not involving me, it's not in me. So, you know, I don't have to worry about it.
No.
And that's wrong. That's wrong.
And our father compelled me and says, You can't sit back anymore.
Sit on the sidelines. You got to be involved in the game. So let's get back that analogy to football. I'm just saying, you know.
Yes, that's right, Brother Thomas. I was very comfortable sidelines. might even consider being a cheerleader. Had no idea I would be on the field. And I was like, oh, you're going to be the quarterback here running the plays. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. It's a bit much for me. But, you know, like you said,
we do what God has to do. We do what God has to do.
And
we're going to be in favor with God, you got to do that.
What people don't realize is that added pressure of knowing, oh, my goodness, everyone I knew prior to be thrown into this spotlight is going to judge not just what I say, but what I do. That's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie to you.
Peer pressure. You know, Jill, I think that a lot of people are caught up in peer pressure. So they're saying, well, I don't want to be, you know, spotlighted. I don't want to be, you know, drawn out of the crowd.
No.
I'd rather be comfortable in the crowd. You know, that, and if I'm comfortable
in
the crowd, they don't
see
me.
It's far more comfortable sitting in the crowd and pointing your finger saying, I would have done that better. I would have said that better.
Oh, yeah. Don't you love that? They always want to say, I can do that better. Oh, really? You can take up the shot call then. Do it. Do it. I guarantee you.
It's so much easier to be in
not
the
as easy as it seems. I guarantee you that. Not as easy as it seems.
To step up and actually speak truth when you know that the world isn't ready for it, or you know that people
when it
will
seems
try
odd,
to blame
when they
you
look at
for
you,
doing so.
And here's the thing. Mm-hmm. When you are the one that stands up and you say, no, I'm not in favor of this. I am not in favor of this. I don't agree with this. I think it's wrong. I think you sitting over there and you're talking about Janie because of the way her hair looks or something is wrong. You're criticizing her for her looks. Everybody has a look. Everybody has flaws. Mm-hmm. We do. But that is not something that you sit and you ridicule and make fun of people. And there are a lot of people, Jewel, that have gone home and committed suicide because of it.
I know.
Peer pressure.
That's what
and so I'm just saying, people, yeah, we're stepping on a lot of toes here, but I'm saying this.
We are.
When
and,
you
know,
and
please understand.
When you know it's wrong, you need to take a stand.
Please understand that, you know, everything here is spiritual. And that's something that I feel is not emphasized enough. And people, you all need to realize that you are the living, breathing church. You don't have to look for
God is inside you. Yeshua is inside you. That's your temple.
Yes.
So when you go forth and you look at the world in a materialistic way, you are you are basically like when Yeshua was on the cross, okay? When he was on the cross, you're no better than those that spit at him. And that's the truth.
It's sad to say, but Brother Thomas is correct. I mean, those that said nothing, did nothing, and just stood by.
And allowed it to happen.
And allowed the targeting, the assaults, all of it. And we're seeing many of the curse breakers and chosen ones experience that again live while family members are doing it again. And it's insane that.
Well, Julie, you know
so
what
many
else?
People...
What else that God just laid on my heart is this. You know the disciples, right? The followers of Christ.
Uh-huh.
How did they die?
Mm-hmm.
Think of it, people. Horrible deaths.
And
now, why did they?
Yeah.
Why did they? Was it because of the stand that they took? Or was it because they didn't take a stand when they needed to? Because how many times did Peter deny Christ? How many times did he deny Christ?
Is really shedding some wisdom that you guys should take note of. What happened to our Father and those of us who experience Christ consciousness will happen again to those who did nothing, stood by, and allowed it to happen.
Evil is evil and always will be evil until God says there ain't no more evil anymore.
It's true. We will watch the word play out again.
And it's happening now. I am just amazed. You know, I got the invitation to this party when I was 16 years old. I'm going to say this. My mom and dad, and y'all know the story of my mom and dad, but they were doing a class. Maybe some of you are familiar with Training Union. on Sunday night. Mm-hmm. So they had this book study. Y'all can get the book. It's called The Late Great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey. Now, what this discussed at that time when I was 16 years old, that's been 50-something years ago, at this time, they were discussing the book of Revelations. And at that time, they were saying, my goodness, wow, how things are going to be so different. There's going to be cell phones, and there's going to be this, and there's going to be the mark of the beast, and we're trying to figure out what all this stuff is, because we're used to landline phones at that time, and we didn't know what a cell phone was, and we were thinking, Scotty, beam me up like Star Trek? I don't know. That's what we were thinking. But at that time, I went outside because and I was very concerned about what I was hearing, and it really bothered me because I have a certain number in my Social Security number that I was very bothered by. And I got this number very early on in life. And it has some significance. Jewel knows what this is, that okay. Even where I went through Tennessee, where I grew up, that number was not even close to those numbers in that area. And the reason why I got the number is because I went on a canoe trip. And, of course, you know, they tell you to put your little belongings in a plastic bag so they don't get wet. Well, I did that, but my canoe capsized. Woo-hoo. So guess what happened? There goes my ID down the river. Okay, then. So then I go on Monday morning. I say, I need to get a new Social Security card. And they say, sure, it'll be a couple of days. All right. Then they call me and they say it's ready, and I go pick it up. And I'm looking like, this is not right. This number's not right. And they're saying, yes, it's your number. We did the research. I said, it's not right. My mother, my father, my friends, my sisters, they all have a different number. Why is mine different? And they said, well, it is what it is, but let me tell you something. If there is anything, anything that you need to deal with and go to the office, guess where you have to go? Y'all ready for this one? I have to go to Los Angeles, California. And I'm a Tennessee boy. Does that make sense? Well, it does when you realize what I've been invited to. I'm the, it's the party, people. 50 years later, I'm at the party. And that's what God told me. He said, don't worry. Important. Yeah, you got it, and there's a reason for it. You'll find it out. But when the time comes, you're going to be at that ending generation. Now I'm going, really? And that's what Jewel is saying. We are that ending generation. That's what I find is amazing. All these generations before us have come and gone, okay? And they kept thinking, when's Jesus coming? When's Yeshua going to be here? You know, he promised that he would be here. People were at that time. We are at that time. It's not like, you know, some people say, well, Hitler was another, you know, Antichrist. Well, some people could have said that, you know, and at that time, I guess, of the civilizations, maybe it looked a bit that way. But all things are coming together here. I mean, it's just not one thing. It's a multiple grouping of things that only is spoke about in Revelations. And we are in those times. And if y'all aren't awake to it now, you better. I'm telling you, there's no tomorrow. See, that's what they're thinking. You know, I heard somebody else say this, Jewel. It was a pastor, and he was saying, you know, these people think they've got tomorrow. They could always make their decision tomorrow. Right now, they're dealing with today. They don't want to deal with, you know, future. So they say, I'll worry with that tomorrow. There's not going to be a tomorrow. So when it says, you know, that we don't know the hour or the day when Yeshua is going to come, we do not know. But we should always be prepared. Now, what that means is that you have the lamps and you have the oil and you have everything ready for the wedding. And then those that didn't get the parts of the wedding, weren't prepared for it, they went out to try to buy stuff. Well, when they came back, the doors were closed. This is what we're saying. It's symbolism. The doors of heaven will be closed. Mm-hmm. The groom is coming. The bride is coming. And this will be the day, the judgment day. And if you're not there for the party, if you're not spiritually in the right way of thinking, I'm sorry. You ain't going to get invited to the party. The doors are going to be shut because you weren't preparing. You weren't doing your due diligence, doing your discernment. You know, that's a new word, Jewel. Don't you understand that new word, discernment? Have you ever heard that word before until recently?
I have. Yes, I have.
I haven't.
Furman was something.
That's something foreign. I didn't see. I didn't ever hear my Baptist church preacher talk about it.
I'm surprised. They usually mention
in Furman. No. He said you need to be ready. You need to be right with God. That's what he said. How do you be right with God? Huh? How do you? What is that definition? Being right with God. Anybody got an answer to that one? What does that mean? Being on the right side of God? What does it mean? Discernment. That's what it means.
This is what I would say to that, Brother Thomas, is that, yes, we all have to carry our own cross.
Yep.
We have our own cross to bear.
Yep.
And some of our crosses are heavier than others.
They're
and
heavy.
It behooves me to think that some people are jealous of those who have to carry heavier crosses.
Yeah, they're jealous of their status with God. Hello?
Yeah.
I just do what I have to do. And I'll say this, what my mom used to always say. Every pot has to sit on its own bottom. So whatever you do in your life, you have to serve the consequences for it. Now,
absolutely.
If you turn around, this is what's good about, you know, the will of God. He gives, does.
Uh-huh.
And he says, you know what? Go out and prosper and go out and do your thing. You know, I know what's going to happen because I see the end of the rainbow. I see the end of the road. I know what you're going to be facing with. But you say you're strong-willed. You got to go out there and you got to do it yourself. Fine. You go ahead and do that. You go ahead and do that. But when it comes down to it and you realize you done made a mistake, you better turn around because I'll be right there to get you. Okay? I'm there. But realize this. If you don't ever turn around, I'm going to keep on going. Let you keep on going. Because I ain't going to tug at your coat strings. I'm going to say, wait a minute. Come back here. That was your decision. So here's the thing, people, that we need to be aware of. We know there are people in this world who are evil. We know that it looks like that. Have you ever had the thought, Jewel, when is the good guy going to win?
Oh, it's coming. That's what I'm celebrating.
You know, the good, but how many times have we gone through life and the good guy never wins?
No, it's been
the bad guy always gets, you know, in other words, they always said this too. You know, if you look at the analogies and they did this even in, you know, Westerns, who was always the bad guy? How was he dressed?
Mm-hmm.
He wore black.
Yeah.
The good guy wore white. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Why? It hides a lot of stuff, hides a lot of dirt. And I'm meaning dirt as in life. Okay?
Yeah.
So when you're dark, you can hide a lot of dirt. When you're white, your cup, brimson white or whatever, any blemish that you get is going to show up on you. You know? Just like, I don't like white cars. I'm sorry, I don't. And the reason why is because, hell, you gotta wash them more.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of dirt. Same thing with I was telling Jill today. I have this bedspread in my apartment, and it's provided by the hotel. And that daggum thing is white. Now that y'all, I have a dog, Cleo, and she is a mini golden doodle. Now you know doggies, they like to jump up on the bed. Well, guess what? We've been outside walking, and her feet are wet and whatever, and she tramps it all in the floor, and then everything goes right on my lovely white bedspread, and it's not white no more. It's dingy. And that's another significance. So if you don't take on that white appearance always, you can be considered as being tarnished. Right, Jill?
That's true. But as,
and you don't want to be tarnished. You don't want to live a tarnished life. That's what I'm trying to say. You don't want to be a part of the crowd anymore, people. You want to stand out. You want to be that bright light. That's what you need to be. That's what God insists on being, the bright light. Not the dim light.
Yeah.
Dim light don't get you nothing. In other words, if you're trying to read, Jill, do you read with a dim light or a bright light?
You would need a brighter light.
Exactly, because you can see better. So with bright light, you can see better. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Brother Thomas, I think we once again have gone well over time.
I don't care. We said some stuff that needed to be said. And,
We sure did.
And I'm looking forward to it. I know. I'm not looking forward to seeing my family suffer. I'm not. Or my family die. I'm not. But I get up and I say my belief prayer, Jewel, every day. And I say, Lord, you've got them in your control. I don't. I can't force them to love me. I can't force them to believe me. I can see what's going to happen. I feel it, what's going to happen. And they won't turn from this worldly way. They won't. Because they seem to think it's just always going to be the same. It always has been. It always will be. Wrong. So wrong. And I just shake my head. I'm going, can't they see, God? Can't they see? Can't their eyes be open? And of course, realize this, God has had a lot of people's eyes veiled. He has. Because he thought that they weren't ready. There are a lot of people that are not ready. But guess what? Their time is running out. They're either going to be ready or not ready at this point. Would you agree, Jill?
Yes, I agree. With that said, I want to close out our podcast for today because it was so much information. And you know, Brother Thomas, I always say, if you give them too much at a time, it becomes information constipation, and we don't want to do that.
Yeah.
So we got to give us time to digest all of this because I know it's a lot. I know it's, you know, something that you guys need to sit back and really analyze on your own time with your own eyes and your own thought process.
Wake up. Encourage that.
And do your research. Do your own research.
Don't believe us. Don't take us as being the authority. Oh, my God. Don't take us as being the authority.
No.
Do your own diligent research, and you'll see. If you go to God, that's an expression. But when you do go to God and you say, God, can you help me with this one? He's going to answer you. You go to a pastor, he's going to hem and haw. I'm sorry, that's the truth.
Yes. If you ask God for wisdom and discernment, according to James, be prepared for it to be given to you, but don't become overwhelmed because some of the things you may see may either disgust you or borderline drive you crazy in disbelief that people would do such horrific acts. So I encourage you, ask the Lord for wisdom. Ask him for discernment, but be prepared because I know the day that I started to see certain truths, I was very disheartened about motives and intentions of
Did you not ask yourself, why me, Lord? Why am I seeing the clear picture and they're not?
Yes.
Why am I considered the black sheep in the family and they are not?
I've had that moment. And you know, one thing about our Father that is just amazing is that even as we question him and question why did he choose to give us this information? Why did he choose us to disseminate the information?
Right.
I think that as time passes, we realize that because that we built
it was his divine plan.
He needed individuals that were not lukewarm, that would not just
would
follow
take a stand.
And do things.
We're strong. Aimlessly. They were strong individuals. Take a stand. They were.
Yes.
They were people of principle. I'm proud of my principle, you know? I'm proud that I got that discernment from my grandfather.
Yeah.
He was a man of principle.
Likewise. And definitely check out the Grandparents Dedication podcast, the last two prior ones.
Yes.
But yes, absolutely. I think they were the last generation that were strong in a faithful stance. To our Father.
But you know what I am the last of? Are you ready? I'm the last of the baby boomers.
Oh, yeah.
I am. And so, you know, the ones that they took out with COVID, they took out 65 and up. And I was supposed to be in that group because I was a targeted group.
That word targeted comes up again. But you are definitely a walking miracle.
Yeah. Well, as Sean said, it's the writer of the book Awakening the Republic. I'm giving a little plug there because it's got my story in it. He says, I am a force to be reckoned with. I am an anomaly. Now, people, I don't know how people, when you have someone tell you that you're an anomaly, you're going, huh? I'm an odd duck, I guess is what you would say. And he said, no. You're something that beat the odds. You did.
Absolutely.
And that's why I'm targeted today, because they didn't kill me and they wanted to. I was supposed to be dead. See, if they eliminated that age group, 64 and up, then there's your wisdom.
There's, you know, that's a common theme amongst many individuals that were chosen to do a job by God, living to testify that they tried, but they did not succeed.
Right.
In and of itself is a difficult story to testify and to tell others, because you wonder, why would you even want to do that to someone who is so loving, so kind, so
right? But you know, Jewel, we were talking about it this afternoon. Right. We were saying that, you know, we can go back in our history, in our minds, and we can hear our grandparents saying certain things, and the way they handled things in their life, and you don't see that today. You don't see the human aspect. You don't see kindness anymore. You don't see goodwill toward men.
No.
Oh, it's all take your damn, you know, cross and shove it. Basically, they all care about only their lives. They don't care about anybody else. They don't.
No. And to double down on that, they actually grow a disdain for those that are counting lights of goodness and doing good things and feeding.
Because I'm telling them how to live their life. Heaven forbid I'm not telling them how to live their life. I'm just simply saying there are other things than what you're being.
Yeah.
Open your eyes, people.
Surprised to the extent that these individuals would go of low frequency to try to project
lies. The thing of it is, we didn't realize it when our kids were put to college. And of course, there are a lot of us that said, you know, our parents, they didn't go to college. A lot of them didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, you know, I'm going to make sure my child goes to college. Well, we didn't realize what was going on in college, did we? The liberal arts, the twisted thinking, the indoctrination every single day until it was just like deep seated in their minds, and it's like concrete. You can't pull it out of them.
Yeah.
That's where we are today.
I think the generation, above us, Thomas, just pretty much sold a lot of people off into slavery once again, because this idea of, I know that many people were thinking, I want my child to go to college because I didn't go to college. I think the thought process should have been along the lines of God's thought process, which was to leave behind your generation a legacy, not debt, not indentured slavery, but a legacy. And
like, you know, son, you don't really want that credit card. Son, you really don't want that credit card.
They weren't passing down wisdom. They weren't passing down. And this is not our grandparents' generation, because they were.
No.
It's just people tried to steal it. But this generation in between, it's just a mess.
I do believe, and I think I can say this. You know, when people used to go out and buy houses, they pay cash. There was no mortgage.
Yeah,
there was no mortgage.
It was a different thought process. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, I recall my grandparents did the same thing. It was a different thought process, and you anticipated that being passed down
right
to the generation, it was not so much as, every man for himself.
What they've done now is they bulldoze the most I can out of it. Yeah, the generations that you say were above us, they basically bulldozed everything. All our history gone.
They just took everything they can, scrambled, and said, hey, who cares if I sell you out into poverty as long as I get to go on shopping sprees? It's insane. Just every man.
I'm just thinking, Jill, of architecture. Okay. You know, we're just amazed by all these modern day skyscrapers, right? But God, they're so plastic that they don't withstand things. I watched this video again. I'm watching a lot of videos on TikTok, and I watched another video, and it was this huge hotel on the beach, and I mean, it must have been 20 stories tall, Jewel. And you watched it, and they said it was so destroyed by the hurricanes that they had nothing they could do but implode it. And they did.
Wow.
Now, if they had had a stone and mason and structure, it would have withstood that wind.
The test of time.
Because you realize that the office buildings these days were favored for all the fancy glittering glass.
Yeah, they're leaning more towards that.
Yeah, that glittering glass is not going to keep you from being blown away in a hard wind.
No, it's not the safest structure. But with that said, Brother Thomas, we're well over time, and I just want to give everything.
I just had to throw that in there because the old is still good, people. Don't throw it away.
I thank you for
cherish
supporting
the old.
Up.org Ministries. I thank you for supporting the podcast. Also, please support my travel agency. I'm going to throw in a plug as well. I know a few of you will be traveling soon. But again, we are so happy that we can share all of this information with you guys. We hope that you digest it well. And those of you who are in position of power and change, take it. Change, make it happen. Let's start celebrating because what did we say, Brother Thomas?
Joy cometh in the morning.
Is falling, and there is no escape inside.
Let's look for the joy. I can't wait to have joy in the morning.
Amen. Amen. Mm. So with that said, bye guys.
Bye. Oh, you didn't have any, Julie. You didn't have any comments from the last podcast?
No.
Yours?
No comments from the last.
Oh my God! Nobody commented about your reveal? Really?
No. You know, you guys can always catch up on the comments. I know it's a long podcast, but try to sit through as much as you can and definitely give us the feedback. We love you all.
We love to hear
it.
Bye. Bye-bye. Thank you.